want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Again, thankful to be in the house of God. Seem a little fuzzy this morning. Excuse me, we got home a little before 3 o'clock this morning, and I wasn't quite ready for the message yet, so I did a little more studying and stuff. But anyhow, God is good. God has blessed us, put on many miles on our trip, and we had a very, very enjoyable time with the family. It was very good. This morning I thought, I come across something here not long ago. If God is sovereign, why do we pray? If God knows everything, why do we pray to God? What's the point? God knows everything already. In Matthew 7, verse 8, he says, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and him that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." God is expecting us to pray. A well-known pastor made the statement, "I listen more than I talk." How is it with us? Then he went on and said, "After all, it seems like God is going to do whatever he wants anyway." Now, we could use, you know, that we could just, yeah, that's the way it is. We could acknowledge that. And if we don't dispute the serenity of God, and we don't, God is supreme. He is the ruler over all. He has supreme authority. There is no question. Then where and how does prayer fit into God's plan? Or how should we, or why should we bother to pray if God has already determined the answers before we pray? I think probably a lot of us have possibly even thought about that already. If God knows it, you know, why do we need to pray? So there's 7 points here. 7 statements that I'd like to go over. God invites us to ask for what we need. In Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, excuse me. He says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Excuse me. Can't seem to get rid of that. Then he goes on in the next verses there. "Or what man is there of you whom his son ask bread and ye give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil," and that is not saying that we are evil necessarily, but in comparison to God, we are evil because God is so righteous. "But if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children," we would not give our children a stone if they ask for bread. We just wouldn't do that. "So how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" God will give us what we need. We are told to ask, to seek, to knock. Why? Ask, and it shall be given. You will find. Seek, and ye will find. Knock, and a door will be opened to you. Also in Psalms 81, I'd like to turn to that. I'd like to go from Psalms 81, verses 7 to 16. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee in the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall be no strange, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. He says there that thou callest when they called, or when we call, when we're in trouble, God answers. Then he goes in verse 8 and says, Hear, O people, I will testify unto you, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. Verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. He wants to help us. He wants to fill our mouth for us. And he goes on, But my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would none of me. For I gave them up unto their own hearts' lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He shall have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey out of a rock, should I have satisfied thee. The Lord promises, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. This is where prayer becomes intensely personal. Our Heavenly Father, who already knows our needs, invites us to make our needs known to him through prayer. And then going on, over into Romans. There he says, we don't know what we really need. We think we do, but we don't. Or it may be more accurate that we know part of our need, but we don't know all of them. Our perspective is inevitably limited to our own experience, desires, and personal knowledge. Our flesh is sometimes limiting us in knowing really what our need is. We get our wants and our needs mixed up too many times. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever felt that you've run out of words when you pray? When a situation comes on you and you just don't know what to say? I've experienced that myself. All we can say is, oh Lord. We're just at the end of ourselves. We're just, the situation, whatever it might be, has just taken the words out of us. That is when the Spirit of God comes in, the Holy Spirit, and makes intercession for us. Sometimes we face the same issue when we seek God's guidance. Often we are confused that we are not sure, so confused that we are not sure we should be asking what we should be asking for. And times we are so weary that words will not come out. We don't pray to give God information he wouldn't otherwise have known. God knows it already. After we have made our requests known to God, especially regarding crisis issues of life, we must cry out, Father, I know what you want. I don't know what you want, but I want your will to be done, even if it means that my will not be done. Giving ourselves up to God, I truly believe that you know what is best. Have we come to that situation? Have we come to that place in life? That's why the most basic prayer is always, "Thy will be done." Whatever God has for us. But God knew that we would often be baffled by prayer, so he sent the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us. And going on in verse 27 there, "He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The Spirit will definitely be interceding for us when we come to the end, because we are human. We come to the end of whatever the situation is, come to the end of ourselves. God knows what we need before we ask him. In Matthew 6:8, I believe, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." That means we don't have to impress God with big words or pray long prayers. We don't have to repeat ourselves when we pray. We don't have to worry about getting all the details correct or throwing in flowery language when we pray. Since God knows us through and through, he knows our needs better than we do. When we pray, we aren't informing God of anything. He knew everything before we even bowed our head. God knows everything. And also, number four, we do not pray to inform God of anything. This may seem obvious, but we need to realize that God knows everything. We're sometimes in our prayers we get to the point where we're trying to explain to God why we would want him to do this for us or whatever. Or we'll try to make promises or things like that. Well, God already knows all that. The Bible tells us that he numbers the stars in the sky, the sand in the seashore, the hairs on our heads. He even calls the stars by name. In Psalms 147, verse 4, "He telleth the number of stars, he calleth them all by their names." Does anyone have any idea how many stars there might be? Has anyone ever read anything or searched it? Or someone have an answer for me? I mean, nobody knows, but they made some projections. Anyone? Okay. They estimated 1 billion trillion stars that are observable. That is a one with 27 zeros behind it. It is unbelievable. But God knows each one. That is, God knows everything. How well do we know God? What is our view of God? Do we realize that he knows everything about us? Billions and billions of stars, and he knows the name of each one. Our greatest problem is not with God's serenity, but with our own sinful unbelief. That is our biggest problem. He not only knows all the people in our church community, he knows everyone attending every church everywhere in the world. And this is all on top of the billion trillion stars. He knows the names of all 6.8 billion people on the planet Earth. Even beyond that, he knows the names of everyone who has ever lived here and anyone that is ever going to be born. Our God is all-knowing. If God knows all that, you think he's going to be surprised when we ask, when we approach him and when we have some health issue that's cropping up again? whatever it is, if we have, we gained a couple pounds, God knows all of that already. And also, if there's any doubt in that, let's go to Psalms 139, the first three verses there. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. That is our God. He knows everything about us. It would appear to be a total knowledge of every aspect of our life. Nothing we do or say surprises God. He knows our secret thoughts. He knows our hidden motives, our unspoken dreams. He knows what we are going to say before we even open our mouth. It means that we don't have to yell or shout or try to make him to understand. God knows it already. And I don't have to go into some long explanation either. I don't even have to repeat myself unless I want to. He got the message the first time. Then number five, we pray to express our total dependence upon our Heavenly Father. Someone once said, it is not for God's good, but for our good that we pray. That's why we pray. It's not to try to, as we said, to inform God of something or to, it's because God is already knows all that. Because God is God, he doesn't need our prayers. But we need to pray. It is because we are who we are that we need to pray. While God desires our prayers, they do not add anything to who God is. Sometimes we think we have got some great ideas, some great thoughts, and we'd like to inform God on why he should answer this prayer for us, because we've got some great things that we'd like to accomplish. But that's not the way it works. God doesn't need the information we give him, but he encourages us to give the information anyway. Maybe an illustration would help us to understand that a little better. Picture a father watching his 4-year-old daughter on the floor trying to put a puzzle together. She tries and tries, but just can't get the pieces to fit together. They just don't fit. It doesn't work. The father just watches intently, just watching, seeing what she's doing with great interest, but he does not interfere. Finally, when she gets to the end of herself, she can't put it together, she comes and asks, Daddy, would you help me put my puzzle together? He smiles, bends down, and together they pick up the pieces. One piece at a time, they put the puzzle together. Now, why didn't the father help his daughter? Earlier. For one thing, she didn't ask for his help. And for another, he wanted her to try on her own. But we need to realize God is watching. God knows what's going on. And most of all, he wanted her to ask for his help. He already knew it, but he wanted her to ask. And then, when she did, he was honored and glad to help her finish the puzzle. Is that not how our Heavenly Father is? He is watching over us. And here we are stumbling along, trying to make our own life, to do our own thing because of our own ideas. And we think we can put this puzzle of life together, but we keep running into problems. Our pieces aren't fitting. We just need to ask the Father to help us to put this together. Every prayer is a cry of a child saying, "Help, Father, I can't do this by myself." We just need to rely on more on God. Number 6, we pray because God is honored by our persistent faith. We've already said since God knows what we need before we ask him, we don't need to repeat ourselves to get his attention, but that's not the whole story. We all know from personal experience that not all of our prayers are answered the first time we pray them. We feel like that would be nice. We just pray and it's answered. But it doesn't always work that way. We all know of people that have prayed for years for family members to come to Christ, for years, but they had not given up. They kept on praying and praying. It was their heart's desire. So how long should we pray for our loved ones to be saved? Is there a limit? I don't think there is. We pray until God answers our prayer. We think about over in Luke 18, he talks about the judge there, the widow that was in that city. Maybe we'll just read the first 6 verses there. Luke 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. The woman kept coming back and coming back to plead her case. And she just kept on asking, and finally she wore him down. He finally said, I'm just going to give this woman what she needs just to get her out of my hair. Just going to do that. Now, going on to verse 7 and 8. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth, on the earth? Persistence in prayer. It's not necessarily that we will change God's mind. That's not what it's about. Jesus isn't saying that God is like the unjust judge. But if an unjust judge can be swayed by the persistence of a widow, wouldn't God's heart be moved by the persistent prayers of his people? I don't know that we can change God's heart. But I think because of our persistence, it actually works on us also at the same time to change us. Persistent prayer moves the heart of God because it expresses desperate dependence on him. Moves, I think, but not necessarily as in changing. well, because you're asking, then okay, well, I'll give it to you after all. I don't think that's the way God works. Sometimes it takes desperate circumstances to bring forth this kind of faith. Perhaps you've heard about the doctor who said to his patient, that there is nothing more I can do. It's in the hands of God now. The patient replied, "Oh no, has it come to that? Is that a last resort? It's always been in God's hands." Prayer reminds us that in the end, everything depends on God, not on us. James 5 gives us another example of the power of prayer. In James chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, he's talking there about the anointing. But coming into verse 16, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions like we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months." Elijah prayed, and I don't know that it changed God's heart. God knew it all along already what was going to happen, but the prayers came at the right time, and it was because of the fervency of the prayer. Turning to God, the situation that they were in, but he says he was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was just like us. But because of a powerful prayer, it did not rain. The prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. And then he says he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. A fervent prayers get God's attention because they come from a heart that believes God's power is unlimited. It doesn't mean that you need to shout when you pray, or that you have to weep and moan. Fervent prayer is simply prayer offered with earnest petition to God. It comes from our heart. It's not the words that matter, nor the length of the prayer, nor the tone of our voice, or whether we stand or kneel or sit. What matters is that we really mean what we pray. That is really what it's all about. Number 7, we pray because he is God and we are not. This, of course, is the first rule of spiritual life. All prayer is based on this simple truth that God is God and we are not God. When we don't pray, it's because we have forgotten who is God and who is not. When we don't pray, lack of prayer means that we are still trying to run the show. It's a sign that we have decided that we can do this on our own. We don't need God if we don't pray. So there again, we come back to this, the very first question again. So if God is sovereign, why do we pray? Because he commands us to. God has told us to pray. We need to talk to him. It's our communication with him. Sometimes I haven't seen it in a while, but we've seen little signs and mottos that prayer changes things. It does. It does work. But sometimes it's more it changes us than it changes the situation. And our greatest problem is not greatest problem is not with God's serenity, but with our sinful unbelief. The Bible says that you have not because you ask not. There again in James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. And then he says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. What are we asking for when we pray? Are we asking for things so we can eat better or drink better or wear better clothes? We can look better to the other people around us? What is our motive of asking for things from God? It is our pride and vanity sometimes is what we're trying to elevate. But we are here to bring glory to God in all that we do. In fact, today there was a verse, I think it was maybe verse 17 in our lesson today, in all that ye do, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. In all that we do in word or deed, I think it says. That pretty much encompasses everything, so that we need to do everything in the name of Jesus. We cannot take glory for anything. Our prayer is to pray fervently, sincerely, and honestly, and bring our deepest concerns to the Lord. God's part is to listen to our prayers and to graciously answer them in His own time, in His own way, and to acknowledge and in His own way, according to His own will. And if we do our part, God cannot fail to do His part. But we need to be in the right mode and have the right attitude, have our hearts in the right condition. Also, we could go over to Isaiah 62. There was a new scripture for me. In verse 6, chapter 62, verse 6 and 7. I have set watchmen upon thy wall, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. And verse 7, and give him no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Give him no rest. I think that means continually come to God and just continually ask God. And also then going to Luke chapter 11 there, he talks about the friend which came at midnight to this other man to ask. Well, he says, well, we'll just read that in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Even friendship wouldn't be enough to do that as such. But because of his continually, importunity means persistence, especially to the point of annoyance. It's persistent. It keeps on, keeps on, keeps on. And because of his persistence, that is why the friend gave him bread to eat for his other friend. So when you The Lord invites his people to pray. He asks them to pray and commands them to pray and begs them to pray. And then he says, when ye pray, give me no rest. Referring back to Isaiah, no rest. Give the Lord no rest when you pray. Bang on the door of heaven. Pray and pray and keep on praying. Pray that God will hear and answer and move from heaven. We need to just continually pray and pray. How is our prayer life? We know that God is sovereign. We know that God knows everything. But he does want us to pray. We know that he wants to hear from us. Would you help us put this puzzle together? I think that's our Father in heaven, and he is willing to help us. But it needs to be from the right perspective, from our heart, and then God will answer. Let us pray.